Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
This lovely, lovely Wednesday night. Namaste, Featherlight.
Namaste, Black Rose.
How are you?
I'm lovely. I am still steadily evolving, transforming. Yes, I am.
Evolving and speaking your truth?
And speaking my truth. My throat chakra is opening. More, yes, thanks to you for giving and Scotty for giving me this platform.
Yes, I mean, you truly have evolved. Goodness, it's really been a beautiful, beautiful experience to watch you evolve and myself as well, completely evolving. And that is what we strive for here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show. We want to raise our frequencies and lift our vibrations, and we can do that here.
Yes, we do.
Radio show. And also, if you join BTR Community, you can speak your truth and evolve. So join BTR Community today. In fact, right now, before we get started with our hot topics, go ahead on, log on to Black Talk Media Network Project. First, donate. Just go over to the left, scroll down. You see the little heart? Donate. Just make the monthly donation. It's easier that way. You don't have to worry about it. That was the easiest way for me. Just make the monthly, set up the monthly donation through PayPal, and just have it done. Just be done with it.
Yes,
go ahead on and do that now.
I have to remember anything. Just set it up.
Because I was always telling Scott, oh, I'm going to donate. And I said, you know what, let me just, that demon of procrastination has come back to haunt me. But I'm pushing that demon away.
Well, with your boards, that will help you.
With what?
Your boards, your whiteboard.
Oh, yes. I did purchase a larger whiteboard so I can get busy working on my vision board. I wonder how many people out there have a vision board. Do you have a vision board with your visions. What do you want to do? Where do you want to go? Have your vision board. That helps tremendously.
Yeah.
So, and people have these vision board groups and all that too. So that may help. Yeah. Scotty, hope you're doing well. I missed the show tonight. The New Abolitionist Radio Show. I missed that, which airs right before the Mind, Body, and Spirit show. So you can just listen to them and then just listen to us. And you can just go to bed after that. Right? Because we can do a great breathing Yanama session with Featherlight at the end of the show to relax us, bring us down from all of this madness that we may experience and the happiness that we experience in life too, just to bring it all down. Just bring it down to a nice calm.
Yes, calm your energies. Calm your energies.
Calm your energies. Calm your energies.
All everywhere with everything that's going on. Then you wake up, you're tired, you know?
Ugh, yeah, after a restless night. So let me share this quote. We have a quote tonight, inspirational quote. Don't seek, don't search, don't ask, don't knock, don't demand, relax. If you relax, it comes. If you relax, it is there. If you relax, you start vibrating with it. That's a quote from Osho.
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 Start vibrating Osho. With it.
And see, you know, when I read this quote, it reminds me, you remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking about how that song, Every Day I'm Hustling, Every Day I'm Hustling, and so many of us get caught up in a hustle and a quote-unquote paper chase, and we're running here and running there and trying to get this and trying to get that and get money here and get money there. And don't get me wrong, multiple income streams is wonderful and it's attainable.
Yes.
But to chase, we shouldn't chase. And we shouldn't work for money. Our money should work for us.
Oh, yeah.
And so when I read this quote, it reminds me that you don't have to go running and looking for anything. If you relax and like the elders say, just listen. And like Baba Dick Gregory used to say, quiet your mind and quiet your spirit.
Right.
And all the answers will come.
Yeah.
And that happens through meditation. Just meditate. Yes, meditation, cleaning out your system. If you want the answers to something, if you want more clarity, just fast for a few days and meditate. Increase your meditation time if you already meditate. And I mean, things become so clear. Oh my God, it's just a beautiful thing. And sometimes when I'm speaking, it's like, oh wow, okay, where'd that come from? And then I think about it and I say, oh, I've been fasting. Yes, I'm having answers flow through me and solutions and thoughts and more thoughts. Lord knows I already have plenty of thoughts coming through my head. So anyway, but when that's a quote from Osho.
I like that. When your mind is quiet, your universe yields to you, which is basically what this said. It conspires with you when your mind is quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's like, then the universe has no clue what it is that you want, what it is that you desire, because there's too much stuff going on.
Right, too much chatter. And you have to make that intention, set your intention. Set your intention, pray about it, meditate about it, whatever you do. And it will come.
Yep.
At the right time. It'll come. What's for you?
Leave the line open. Yes.
All right, you have a quote.
Let's see. When you look down on yourself, you set an example on how others should treat you. Bangambiki Habayarimana. Pearls of eternity. When you look at, and that is so true, because you're sending out this energy, and it can be picked up. You're sending out an energy that I feel low about myself. I don't think I'm as good as anybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, people can pick up on that. They can pick up on that.
They certainly can.
Yeah. I was in the store. I think I've said this before, but this is regarding energy. Standing in line, this young girl, she was about 19 or 20 or 21, very, very young. Mm-hmm. And let's see, she was in front of me, so I came behind her. But there was a basket sort of catacornered in front of her, but not directly, but it's just like catacornered in front of mm-hmm. her. Maybe it could have been a basket, could not have been a basket. So this Asian man came and he stood in front of the basket instead of behind me. And her mannerisms were like, he just walked in front of me. I don't believe it. She's African American, by the way. I just don't believe it. I don't believe it. And she was looking so frustrated. And mm-hmm. I looked at her like, is she going to say something? But mm-hmm. it's how she felt about herself. She just felt that person was more important than she was. So I had to go and tap him on the shoulder and give him the business and tell him, you know, hey, back behind me, brother. And so.
Did you give him the business?
Did I give him the business? Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
give him
the business.
Yeah, give him the business. Hey, excuse mm-hmm. me. The line is back.
Excuse me, sir.
You know, and you have to mm-hmm. have that kind of like, you know, like pleading, not pleading, like, oh, please don't send for me. No, the line, you see us, like my speaking word. Do you see me? Do you see mm-hmm. these two black sisters standing here? Get behind us. Okay.
Very angry black woman. Okay, I like that. Yeah, when you look down on yourself, you set an example on how others should treat you. That is so true. That's so true. If people feel that you don't respect yourself, they certainly
will not. They will not respect you.
Respect you. Mm-mm. They will not. All right. Okay. Did you have anything else before we go into hot topics?
Whoever angers you controls you, and that's by Ralph Smart. Diving deep infinite waters, he is so on it. But mm-hmm. it is so true, because you're giving whatever you concentrate on, you give it strength. It's strength.
That's right.
You give mm-hmm. it strength, because that's your thoughts. Our energy, and the energy is just powering that person up. You come mm-hmm. home, you think about that person, you spend time talking about that person. That person is getting that energy from you. So I thought that was mm-hmm. a good one. You got to remember mm-hmm. that.
Yes. Bringing that negative energy constantly into your existence by speaking on a certain incident or a person or something. Let it go.
Yeah. Ride through it and then let it go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like that song used to say, shake those haters off or something like that.
Yeah.
Just shake it off.
Shake it off. That's part of our Qigong exercise. Shake it. Yeah. It really does help. Yeah. Shake it off.
All right. Let me run through a few hot topics that I came across this week. Let's see. I really want to touch on this. I'll just mention there was the, I think it was the Center for Equal Justice had a showing a lynching museum. I believe it was in North Carolina. I would love to go to see that museum. That book, Without Sanctuary. Oh my goodness. I used that book in presentation before, and I know I've shared this with you, Featherlight. And I remember giving that presentation and just looking at those pictures and reading through the history and reading what Ida B. Wells wrote. I mean, it was just something that it just took me into a space that, oh, it's in Alabama? Okay, thanks, God, it's in Alabama.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, Alabama. Okay. And I remember I was standing in the front of the classroom, and when I looked out the right window, it was like I could just see a person hanging from the tree, like Billie Holiday's Strange Fruit on Southern Poplar Trees.
Yeah.
Woof, my goodness. So, Alabama, I guess I have to take a trip there. Will not be going to Waffle House. That's for damn sure. Good thing I'm trying to put a little sign up there and say, don't go here. Do not come here. No, you're not coming out. Look, I'll be like T.I. and all of them in Atlanta when they had that boycott and protest in front of, what was that restaurant? Was it Houston's restaurant?
I believe it was Houston's restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would stand outside Waffle House and tell them, look, don't go in here. Because there was a story, another story about this damn Waffle House in Alabama. The Waffle House would not allow the black young lady to enter because they said, we're short staffed in here. There were empty tables clearly present because she was like videoing from the outside. And so when she approached the door, one of the workers immediately locked the door, I suppose, and said, oh, we're short staff. And so they would not serve her. And of course, the waitress staff person at Waffle House apologized. But that's unacceptable, and that's not enough. And if I were her, what I would do, and if anybody's listening, they can get in touch with her. I wish I can get in touch with her. Maybe I should try to find this young girl. But I would sue Waffle House, of course, that's number one, for my pain and suffering and racial discrimination. Mm-hmm. Number two, what is it? Letter two, with my winnings, then I would open up a chain of breakfast restaurants.
All right.
Where people could be appreciated. What did you say last week? Go where you are appreciated, not tolerated. Yes, ma'am. That's exactly what I would do. I hope she has lawyered up as we speak, because I would be suing the hell out of Waffle House. Waffle House has no room for any errors at this time.
None.
And if your stupid ass have not learned from Starbucks, okay then. So you need to be sued. So yeah, I hope she sues the shit out of them. I really do, because they need to be sued. In addition to, you know, the other young lady that we spoke about, I believe her name is Shakisha. I heard that there has been some rallies and a lot of support for her after maniacs assaulted her, sexually assaulted her in the Waffle House.
Live, Jesus. Live. Everybody. That's pain and suffering.
Maybe that's traumatic.
That is
absolutely traumatic. Now, I did want to mention this quickly, Featherlight, before our guest comes on. By the way, we have a guest coming on, Floyd Williams, and he's going to speak about why more men should practice yoga. So, Scotty, I don't know if you practice yoga or any of our brothers and brothers listening, or sisters that are with brothers. Your husband, your mate, you may want to stay tuned so that we can hear Floyd Williams, who's a yoga teacher, speak about the benefits of yoga for men. And I'll tell you one thing. Now, you know, yoga is said to help your sex life.
Oh, yes.
In a number of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You may not need that blue pill, brother. Just a little yoga session. Okay. Give it a try. Give it a try. Give everything else a try.
Yes.
Okay, so I wanted to speak about this before he comes on. There was a scene in that show Empire with Taraji P. Henson and Terrence Howard, right? So Taraji P. Henson's character, Cookie, was looking for this young girl who was a ballerina. And so she went to the studio, and she found the young girl, and she watched the class, And she didn't see, well, okay, so she was looking into the classroom. She didn't see the little girl, the girl. And the instructor had a group of ballerinas going through this, going through a dance routine. So they were not performing or executing the, what is it, the postures, the dance movements correctly. So he asked the little girl that Cookie was looking for, the black girl. She was the only black girl in the class, of course. He asked her to come out and demonstrate for the girls that couldn't execute the dance movements. So, of course, she performed with perfection, just a natural ballerina. So Cookie comes and speaks with her after the class, and she says, wow, you were great. You were the best in the class. Why aren't you the lead? The little girl's response was, well, because of my skin tone, the director said that they would have to change the lighting, and that just wouldn't work for everybody else. So because of her being black, African American, she could not be the lead for this performance. She's the best. Clearly she's the best, because the instructor asked her to come out and demonstrate for the other girls who could not perform as well as she. So I wanted to bring that up because how many of us have had our dreams deferred because of our skin color? Because somebody said, oh, it's something like the lighting, or we would have to do this, or we would have to do that, or we just don't want to do that for you.
No, no.
Like models, when models still complain about how certain makeup artists wouldn't have the proper foundation and makeup colors for them, or they wouldn't have the proper hair tools for their hair, so they just didn't book them, or they had to go out there with some too light makeup on, makeup that didn't match their skin tone. Mm-hmm. And this is what we keep having to experience. And I just thought that that was so poignant, because I thought about that and I said, how many people have missed an opportunity like that because somebody said, oh, we're not going through all of that just for you. Why make an adjustment for you because of your skin tone, the lighting, or something like that, to that effect? And then I thought about when I was in dance class, and I think at that time, I think there may have been only about 5 black girls out of, oh God, maybe 100 and something. This little racist white lady who was the owner of the dance class, she would never allow black girls to have solos. It was years before black girls were able to have solos. And I didn't realize I didn't pick up or realize her racist tactics until in my later years. And I would think back and I would think about how she would treat us. And then I even thought back to when I was in college and I was taking a ballet class, and the instructor, she would always come over to me and the other 2 black girls and push our butts in and push our breasts in and push our stomachs in and all of that, like, oh, you're just too, it's just too much. You know, we were supposed to be frail and thin, and we were curvy, had booty, hips, and breasts. Yeah. That just didn't fit into the whole ballet style. That's why I love that young lady. What's her name? Misty Copeland.
Oh, yeah. Misty,
you know, she's small, but she's kind of buxom.
Yes, she is. She is. She's built.
She is. Built. Very muscular, too, almost like Serena.
Yes, and you in her poses, you can just see all the muscles, the arms, the legs, the butt. But she can definitely move.
Yeah, so, I mean, I thought about that just hearing. I had to listen to that again. I said, wow, how many of us have had a dream deferred? What becomes of a dream deferred?
I know that there are many listening who can just think of at least one that their skin color interfered with where they were supposed to be or where they wanted to be. When I was with the Peabody Hotel, I was in charge of like every when the secretaries call and book a meeting, like my boss wants to have a meeting at this hotel and some people are coming in from out of town and we need 20 rooms, 30 rooms, whatever. So I was in charge of that group, the corporate group. And my responsibility was to go out and, you know, give them little cups and, you know, come go and visit them and get them to come and use our hotel for all of the meetings. But I wasn't the manager. I was the assistant. But I did, you know how it is. I did all the, you know, hustling and everybody knew me. So my manager was being promoted. Now, I had done all the work. You know, everybody knew me. I was the contact person. When we had the birthday parties, I'd be up there. Oh, okay, so we're going to have the birthday party in here and la, 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 la. So I was the one, not her. She was the manager, but I was the one out front. They interviewed me. Well, they didn't even have to interview me. I was already there. But they hired someone from outside who wasn't even in the hotel over me. Over me. And that was like, what's that? But that was a shoe in. That was just a just scoot my chair over kind of thing. You know what I mean? I knew everything. And this older white lady who worked there like part-time, she'd come in like once a week or whatever. She really took to me, and she really took to my daughter. She'd give my daughter quarters and stuff to take home. She really, really liked me. She pulled me aside one day, and she said, you know, she was an older lady, like 60, 70 or something. She said, you know why you didn't get that job? And she wasn't with the company. She was just like a temp. I said, no, Miss So-and-so, why? She said, because your friend, there were two other African-American women that worked in the office, that they were in, like, you know, a few doors down. And since we were all there, we would sometimes have lunch together. One of them was kind of loud, you know, and the other one, I don't know, kind of sheepish-like, I don't know, kind of quiet, whatever. And she said, you have to be careful of who you hang with, because that's why you didn't get that job, because your friends who you spend time with, and that's why. She was stumbling, you know, she was trying to be nice about it. But I was like, well, I'll be damned. Because they do say things among each other, right? I'll be damned. Well, I'm not going to stop hanging with them. You know, but it was the reason why I was told that I didn't get it. Was I didn't get a good performance review while I was having my performance done, review done. I picked up some paper clips. I guess I was a little, you know, I'm the type of person, my fingers have to be busy sometimes. And I picked up a paper clip and I was twisting the paper clip and I kind of twisted it open, you know, so it's long, you know. And so she said, when it comes to, you know, saving supplies and, you know, you tend to misuse supplies. I was like, what the
oh
fuck?
My God.
What are you talking about? So anyway, that was a push. That was really, really, I eventually, after a year later, I could see that I was not going to be pushed into management there. So I left there and became manager somewhere else. But anyway, that was my skin color.
See, that's what I'm talking about. All right, Feather Light. I know that so many of us have experienced something like that. But I'm still sitting here shocked about the paperclip. I'm just like, paperclip?
Yes.
Really?
A paperclip, and it was only one. It wasn't like I sat there and just ruined about 10 of them right in front of
me. And every day on your lunch break, you
sitting there
destroy paper clips. Idiots.
It is. And this was a luxury hotel. They had gobs of money. I mean, just gobs of money, gobs of supply. Paperclips was not a concern.
Whatever. Okay, those two black guys, Rashawn Nelson and Dante Robinson, who were arrested in the Starbucks. So they settled with Starbucks. And I think that amount is undisclosed. Last I read, and they settled with the city of Philadelphia for $2, with the condition that the city will spend, I believe it's $200,000. Let me see, can I get this up? $200,000 to have some initiatives in place that can help teach young black boys entrepreneurship. And I believe I read something about mental health also. That would be absolutely awesome and very much needed, because so many people are suffering from mental health issues, whether they know it or not. Because living in this insane, wicked, filthy, ungodly system, as Bobby Dick Gregory used to say, you can't help but kind of be a little off, because they've taken us out of our natural habitat. We've been taken out of our natural habitat, so we're like a fish out of water. Those few seconds that the fish trying to survive. So let's see. I was trying to see, could I find that piece? But yes, I believe it's $200,000 and initiatives to have programs to help educate the young boys about entrepreneurship, and that way they can then open up some other coffee shops and some nail school, since everybody complains about the Asian nail shops. Maybe we can get some nail schools open so that that can be a skill for young ladies. Carpentry. How about we open up some schools where young people can learn how to make furniture and build homes? That way, they always have a skill, because make clothes. Okay, some sewing schools. Yeah. Let's get back to the trades, and that way we don't have to keep begging these people for a job.
For a job, right? This little boy
getting just over broke.
He learned, his grandmother taught him how to sew, and I guess he was into bow ties, but he never could find the kind that he liked. So he started making his own bow ties. He's from Memphis, and it's called Moe's Bows. Moe's Bow Ties or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Moe's Bow. I remember him. Yeah, I think we talked about him. Speaking of which, would you like to share our Doing the Damn Thing?
Doing the Damn Thing. Okay, so some of us are suspicious of black-owned businesses. We're very suspicious of dealing with our own people, but we'll stand outside a bulletproof window and order Chinese food every day, every week, and we don't know what's in it. Five us. We don't really
know. Cat, dog.
Because their culture is different from ours. Their culture is different from ours. They will eat certain things that we just, you know, don't think is cool. But we'll order it. So if you want to see people of African descent rise to the position of liberation, start by supporting black-owned businesses. Check out some of the fabulous luxury resorts while you're exploring new destinations, like the Spice Island Beach Resort in Grenada. It's a husband and wife team, 5-diamond, 6-star hotel. Now, when you're at 5-diamond, you're fabulous. I worked at a 4-diamond hotel. It was fabulous. But 5, 6-star, tops the list of the 10 most beautiful black-owned hotels around the world. And there is a list of 7 Black-owned resorts and hotels in the South alone. So people of color are owning businesses that we can patronize, support our own. Instead of running to Starbucks where you disrespect it, check out the list of 47 Black-owned coffee and tea shops. Just type it in, where you get a mixture of stimulating dialogue, the unification of your community. They have live events like movie screenings and book signings, and all of this in an Afrocentric setting, unapologetically centered on the culture of our people, and more specifically, the historical and current influence of coffee and the coffee trade. You get all of this in Black-owned coffee shops across the nation. Now, the average woman's size is not 8 or 10 or even 12, like we've been told. According to a recent study published in the International Journal of Fashion Design, Technology, and Education, it's more like 16 and 18. So check out the list of 15 Black-owned plus-size brands. Wow. They cater to women sizes 12 to 44. Some of them start at 0 and go up as high as 32. But Black entrepreneurs, this day, we're doing the damn thing. Support your Black-owned businesses. We're doing it.
Well, you know, that's what Dr. Claude Anderson speaks about. Once we get out of a colonized mind state, then we learn to support Black businesses, because he says that if we open up 1,000 Black businesses, if we're still in a colonized mind state, whereas we think that somebody else's ice water is colder, then that business will go out of business in a week, in a month, because nobody's coming to support it.
So,
supporting Black-owned restaurants and coffee shops, which we should have more people of African descent that own coffee shops since coffee originated in Ethiopia. Let's see. On Tuesday, May the 29th, end of this month, there's a National Eat at a Black Coffee House Day. Okay, I have to find a Black coffee shop here. Well, can I do Cambodian? I know this Cambodian lady down the street. She's pretty much considered Black, is she not? Well, let's see. The Black Star Project is sponsoring and hosting the National Eat at a Black Coffee House Day on Tuesday, May 29th. So on that day, 500 Black coffee houses across America, Canada, and Mexico will work together to command market share and to flex their collective and connective muscle in the place in the competitive coffee house marketplace. So that's great. So they'll sell a combination of coffees, teas, and hot chocolates, as well as milks and juices. They'll sell a combination of pies, cakes, pastries, cookies from Black-owned bakeries. And the spaces will be open for conversations on race and the economic empowerment of Black people. All right. And then some of the Black coffee houses listed are Uprising Muffin Company, that's in D.C. And then there's Cafe Con Libros, and that's in Crown House, Crown Heights, Brooklyn. Yeah, Crown. There's a movie called Crown Heights that I haven't viewed yet.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So Cafe Con Libros. There's Watts Coffee House, and that's in Los Angeles, in L.A., on the streets of L.A. Big Mama's Coffee House. Ooh, I bet her coffee good. Big Mama. She's in Omaha, Nebraska. Big Mama's Coffee House. All right, Omaha, Nebraska. Yeah, okay. So those are some coffee shops.
How about Uncle Bobby's? Uncle Bobby's Coffee and Books.
Oh, Uncle Bobby's.
That's a cool coffee shop and bookstore. Now, they have live events with book signings and the movie screens.
Now, see, I would love
that. That's in Philadelphia.
That sounds like something in Illy, Philly. I would love to own a cute little coffee shop. There was a cute little coffee shop back in my hometown of Memphis. And, it was just the cutest little place. They had little clothes and incense and all of that. Yeah. It was so cute and live music. So, truly enjoyed that little place. Truly enjoyed the little place. So, I guess we'll go ahead on and let me see. Let me give my quick opioid factoid, and then let's start into our topic as we wait on our guests to call in. So my opioid factoid for tonight is, I was listening, of course, to my videos, and also I was listening to this radio show, and the Surgeon General came on and spoke about the opioid epidemic, and he basically spoke to what I've been seeing in the videos in terms of, well, what I was able to surmise from watching the videos. Many of us in the African-American community, we were protected and insulated from the opioid epidemic because so many of the doctors had this theory that as Black people, we could tolerate more pain. So mm-hmm. many of us were given like the Flexeril or something like that, a muscle relaxer, a little light something. We weren't given the narcotics, and we weren't given 180 different pills per month. Okay.
And we weren't given that. And the strength was low.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get a 2 week or 1 month prescription for some Vicodin or Darvocet or something like that if you had surgery, but you couldn't get that refill. Oh no, forget about it. We're gonna put you on this little Flexeril or this whatever little off-brand stuff. No narcotics for you because you're misused drugs, and that was another misconception. They said that Black people, if we give them too many drugs, they'll misuse them. So. Yeah. Once again, because of some ignorant and inhumane and just downright racist thoughts and policies among, within the medical field, we were protected. And now look what is happening. You have 200 people a day dying across the country. New Hampshire, Ohio, I mean, these people, they go, I mean, they're all battling for the number one spot. New Jersey, West Virginia. Oh Lord, West Virginia. I think West Virginia has like 77% of the people there have hepatitis C. 77%.
77%.
And now you know if on record it's 77%, it has to be about 97%.
Yeah, because they always.
So we're talking about damn near everybody.
Wow.
And in West Virginia, yes, and in West Virginia, you have people from the age of 12 to 90 overdosing on
90?
Opiate. Yes. These people old, still getting high. Or they're getting high on their cancer pills and all of that.
Oh.
Hey, yeah. Hey, ladies.
Yes, yes.
If I may chime in real quick, it just popped into my mind. But no one, among some of the things, you know, Kanye's getting a lot of press right now and got people talking. But he mentioned that I don't know if he said it himself, but I read an article where it says he's getting over opioid addiction. That he was on. He
you
was
know what? On. I did. I heard him say that, Scotty. I was listening to an excerpt from his interview or whatever that was. And he did say that. He said that he went and had liposuction and surgery. And I think that's when he started on the opioids, I believe. Mm-hmm. He did mention that. Now, I haven't listened to the full interview, but I did hear that piece, Scotty.
Something's going on with him.
It's called Sleeping with Kim Kardashian. Okay. I mean, really, this girl became famous off of having sex with Ray J on a porno. A video. It wasn't even a real porno, but I guess you can call it a porno. Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, just nasty. Just what? Anyway, so that's my opioid factors. So I do hear that there's some rap songs now that are promoting opioids. Let me just say this to parents and young people. Don't get involved with that. Parents, talk to your children. Make sure they know. Take them to the coroner's office and let them see how the coroners are overworked because they have so many dead bodies coming in from people who have overdosed. Talk to them about making the proper life choices. Drugs are not the answer. That's not the answer. Look, you don't need to be that high. And from what they say,
no,
like crack, you'll never have that initial high feeling that you had with your first ingestion of this opioid stuff, heroin and all of that, fentanyl. And then they notice fentanyl will kill them, but they still want it. And they say they have to have it because they feel sick. They feel like they have the flu. So therefore, don't even start with that stuff. It's not worth it. It's not worth it, people. It's not worth it. Go out and have your glass of wine, drink your hot tea, have a smoothie, smile, and I guarantee you, you'll be just as happy. In fact, you'll be more happy. They're not happy on those opioids. They're not happy.
Oh, no, they're not happy.
They're not happy.
I don't know what they are, but they're not happy.
They're not happy. So, anywho, what can make you happy, though, is practicing yoga. That can make you very, very happy. Yes, it can, because it will relieve tension. It'll help you gain more clarity, increase your flexibility, increase your endorphins, reduce the bad cholesterol, and give you the posture. Yeah, vitality. Your posture improves. Your breathing will improve. Your mood. Let's talk a little bit about the yoga connection. You said what? Your mood?
Yeah, your mood.
Yes.
Your mood.
Yeah. Your mood. Absolutely, your mood. All right. The yoga connection. You want to start out with that? Please.
Okay. Well, yoga is basically, in layman's terms, it's like union of the body, mind, and spirit. And so that's what the word yoga means. It's like yoke or union. It's a practice of connecting our body, mind, and spirit, and connecting us to ourselves, each other, our environment, and eventually the truth, the universe. So For me, yoga, and for a lot of people, I think when you think of yoga, you think of these weird positions, and you see slim people in all kinds of contorted positions and what have you. But it's a lot. That's a myth. It's much, much more,
And it's not just exercise.
No. It's a spiritual type of meditation. And those positions really are for people who've been practicing it for a long time. And I saw this heavyset woman, and she was, she was in a pit position that was really beautiful. And so it does not matter what size you are. For me, it's like having my very own personal chiropractor, because it's about aligning your body, and that was the whole purpose as to why it was used by our ancestors, our African ancestors. It's about aligning yourself with the universe. Just like your car, your body, after time in use, it gets out of alignment. And sometimes our spirit gets out of alignment with everything that's going on, all this killing and, you know, threats and racism and everything. Your body, your mind is just going everywhere, and it gets out of tune with your higher self. And so yoga, it's about yoking yourself back to your higher self. It's about realigning your body to to its original position. And it has so many, many benefits. I have a personal story about yoga, and I didn't know it was this powerful. But I was experiencing headaches on one side of my head for over a year and a half. I went to the doctor, and she couldn't figure it out why. She wanted to insist that I was dealing with migraines and wanted to give me migraine medicine. And I insisted, no, I know the difference between migraine and just, you know, a nagging headache. Migraines, you can't do anything. So I refused to take a lot of the medication that she was giving me. What I wanted to know is, what is it, what is causing it? I don't like to shoot the messenger. When you have pain, that's a messenger. It's telling you that something's wrong up in here, over there, fix this. Not shoot the messenger, you're not deaden the pain, find out what's going on. So she couldn't figure it out, but do you know that I kept monitoring myself, and I kept, as soon as the pain started, I noted where it came from, and it was my back, what's called a calcaneus muscle on my shoulder. And so it was just why I was one-sided. So I started doing neck yoga. When I do my neck yoga regularly, like I'm supposed to, like at least 5 times a week, I don't have that pain. And I didn't need medication. It's out of alignment. And so the yoga puts it back in alignment. So that's how powerful it is. I could have been stuck on some medication for years, but all it is my body was out of alignment from sleeping on the wrong side, things like that. You know,
out of alignment, and we can get out of alignment like that with stress, anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah,
going through something traumatic.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, it happens to all of us.
Let me see. So maybe I'll go over like a few terms.
Okay.
So the word yoga comes from the Sanskrit word yuge. I may not be pronouncing that properly. But Y-U-J means to yoke or bind, and is often interpreted as union or a method of discipline. Now, let me say this about Sanskrit, the Sanskrit origin. Now, there were Nubians that traveled over into the area that we call India. And they're the ones that brought this practice, this mystic practice, this daily practice over into that area. And so Indians are attributed with the origin of yoga. But let's keep in mind that yoga actually comes from out of the land that we call Africa. Nubia, Ethiopia, or in the area of Egypt. But I mean, this was a practice throughout the lands, and so that people took this practice. It's just like when you take the same your terracotta pots to another area and you use those pots to cook. That's a part of your daily life. That's a part of your culture, your tradition. So this yoga practice was just taken with them when they traveled over there. And so, again, we're never given the credit for our knowledge, what never. We've given to society, civilization, rather. So we're going to talk a little bit about Kemetic yoga or Egyptian yoga also. So I just want to add that to this as we speak.
Thank you.
Just the minor.
Just the minor.
Okay, because we keep it real here. So someone who practices yoga or follows the yoga philosophy with a high level of commitment is called a yogi, man or woman.
yogin, man or woman. Yogini is the feminine Sanskrit word of the masculine yogi. So we have the asanas. So it literally means seat. But in yoga class, it's pretty much interchangeable with the word pose. So like the different poses, like downward dog or warrior pose.
Right.
Those are the asanas. Mm-hmm. Tree pose. I like the tree pose.
Yeah.
And as Feather Light likes to say, namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste. Namaste. it means... The divine light
with me.
Nah, I'm a stay.
All right.
I'm a stay. wait a minute. Hag, if, what was that hashtag? Hashtag if slavery didn't happen. Oh, that hashtag was trending so hot on the Twitters last night.
Oh, those people had some
funny tweets. Funny. We had to have a little comedic relief from Kanye's tale. Lord have mercy. Yeah. I'm not going to get into Kanye. So anyway, namaste. It means the divine light within me salutes the divine light within you. The God in me honors the God in
you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Namaste. Namaste. You want to talk about the om?
Om.
Om.
Okay. Om. Is the sound of the universe. Mathematically speaking, that's you know, researchers and mathematicians and who came up with this sound. The vibration of it, that's the sound of the universe. So the written version of Om has become like a universal symbol of yoga. Mm-hmm. Essentially, we're all part of this universe, always moving. Everything is always moving. Whether it looks like it's moving, and I'm looking at a printer right now, it just looks like it's just sitting on the table, but it's actually moving. The chair next to me is actually moving, just moving very, very slowly. So it's vibrating. So everything is constantly moving all the time, always breathing. So when you chant Om, and when things move, they vibrate. And when things vibrate, they create a sound. So when you chant Om, you're actually tapping into that vibrational sound of the universe. So you're connecting with it.
Yes.
Yes.
It's a very healing sound.
It is.
Your
it is.
Organs.
It is.
Your system.
I remember when I was working with this spiritual teacher, and I would say Om, you know, and he would say, take it all the way back to your throat. I'm like, I thought it was.
Yeah.
No, take it all the way back to your throat, you know. And then Om is also spelled A-U-M. And each letter represents a state of time, like a division of time. Say, A, that is the waking state. And U is the dream state. And then the M is the state of deep sleep. So those are the states that we're in. And at the end of is a pause. It's like a silence. And this silence represents the state known as infinite consciousness.
Infinite consciousness.
And also... In Chinese, the Chinese culture, Qigong is yoga. It's like Chinese yoga.
I do like practicing Qigong. You know what, Turiya? You said, okay, so let's see. The this represents the state known as Turiya. Did you say Turiya? Is that how you pronounce it?
Mm-hmm. Turiya.
Turiya. Mm-hmm. Okay, so... Okay, yeah, so Alice Coltrane, John Coltrane's wife, Alice Coltrane has a song that I love, and the name of it is Turiya and Ramakrishna.
Oh, really?
Yes, and I did not know.
Yeah.
I did not know the meaning. I'm like, oh, okay, Turiya Krishna. Okay, I'm going to have to, well, Turiya and Krishna. I said, I'll have to look that up one day.
And it's so amazing that you found this information. And so now I know, because I just love the song, and I see why I love it so much, because it represents the state of infinite consciousness.
That's something. Huh. All
right. And Ramakrishna apparently was a person. I have to look more into this. He was an Indian mystic and yogi.
Yeah.
So, Turiya. Okay. All right. Well, let's take a break.
Okay.
We will be right back. And while we're on this break, you can go to Black Talk Media Project Pay and donate. We'll be right back.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
All right, we're back here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show. And tonight we are talking about Kemetic Yoga, yoga, the philosophy of enlightenment, and why should you practice yoga? We were talking about Turiya and the infinite state of consciousness and asanas. Now let's move into Shanti. Shanti, peace. When you chant Om Shanti, 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 it's an invocation of peace. So if you are desirous of peace in your life, chant Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. And think about peace.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Think about it. Think about it.
Yeah. What that peace feels like.
What does peace mean to you? What is peace? How does peace look to you? How does peace feel to you?
Yeah.
What is peace for you? And then Om Shanti 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 three times.
Mm-hmm.
To represent peace in body, speech, and mind. Body, speech, and mind. Mm-hmm. Now, we were waiting on our guest to call in. He hasn't called in yet, so we'll share just a few pieces on yoga for men. So there was a 2011 study that was published in the Journal of Sexual Medicine, and it found that men who practiced yoga for 12 weeks reported improved sexual function overall, including a measures of desire, satisfaction with sex, performance, ability to control their ejaculation, and men were able to gain 3 inches in their penis size. I'm just kidding. So men are like, let me go, let me find me a yoga tape right now.
Oh.
Oh, Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. So anyway, you don't know now. You may gain 3 inches on your penis.
You just don't know
because yoga lengthens your body. Okay.
It does lengthen your body.
It helps your blood flow. So you know when the penis becomes erect, it's all about the blood flow. You may gain a little width. I don't know about the length, but you may gain a little width. And let me tell you, brothers, it's about the width. It's not always about the length. It's about the width. You got to give her something she can feel. Wait a minute. I have no time for your future. I have no time for your present, your past, present, or future foolishness.
Foolishness.
Okay. So the study, let's see. So the benefits of your sex life. It's likely due to a combination of things, actually, including better pelvic muscle tone, improvements in mood and a reduction in anxiety. Mm. See, I can see that. I can see that, definitely.
Me too, yeah.
Because sometimes, you know, you may be in the move and groove and everything, and somebody catch a cramp. And then you're like, you haven't been working out. You need to stretch, you know. Or legs start popping, you know. You pull your leg up and it start popping. Ooh, don't pull it back that far, you know. So you practice more yoga and you'll be more flexible. And
that's
stretch.
Right.
And
that's
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you'll be able to explore and experience more positions.
That's right.
So, yes, your sex life certainly will improve. And let's see. So, yoga reduces stress.
Mm-hmm.
We've discussed that before. So, because you're uniting your mind and your body, and you're breathing. And it's very, very relaxing. And then you're healing your organs. So you're reducing the stress.
And you're improving your stamina, which is
your stamina.
Always good. Always
That's
good.
Right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Your stamina.
Longevity mm-hmm. is very good, too. Width is good. Longevity is great.
Longevity is great.
Yeah.
When it's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, let's see. A study published in the Journal of Immunology found that those who did yoga suppressed the activation of certain genes that cause inflammation, a common response to stress that can lead to some serious, serious health implications. Stress can lead to cancers in your body.
Sure can.
Mm-hmm.
It can.
So that's another way. Another reason why more of us should practice yoga. Black men may be stressed out about walking down the street or sitting in Starbucks. So you go home, practice some yoga, mm-hmm. and relieve that stress.
Right.
And then you'll have clarity so you'll know how we can plan and organize and gain our liberation. Okay?
Mm.
Okay?
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 Okay? Okay? On top of that, yoga has been found to increase your body's ability to respond to stress more effectively by reducing your heart rate, your blood pressure, easing respiration in stressful situations that typically increase these responses. See, when you're all out of shape, police come and start harassing you, you can remain calm like those brothers. I can look at those brothers and tell they practice something.
Oh, yes, me too.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
And they
I
look
know
like vegetarian.
Immediately, spiritual
yes.
awareness.
I can look at them. I can look at them. They either practice in martial arts or yoga, and they have a plant-based diet. I can see it.
Yeah,
because you can look at people and see what they eat.
Yep, she can.
I can look at a person. I can tell if they eat a lot of cow.
Yep,
because they look just like a cow in the face. When people eat a lot of pig, they had that pig nose. Their nose began to spread like a pig.
It sure does. And their cheeks blow up.
And their cheeks blow up. Mm-hmm. They look just like a pig in the face. I'm not saying that they're ugly. I'm just saying they begin to have those features because you are what you eat.
Yep, you are what you eat now.
Elijah said, peace be upon you. Eat to live. You got to eat to live, baby. Eat to live. Okay.
You will sleep better.
Mm-hmm.
You will sleep better when you do yoga. There are quite a few yoga exercises that you can do, which only take about 5 minutes, and you will sleep like a log. There are fewer sleeping disturbances, and it's shorter time falling asleep when you do yoga. Plus, you're less likely to use sleep meds to help nod off when you do yoga. And you get quality sleep. The quality of your sleep is much better when you do yoga. It's not just about going to sleep, but it's the quality of your sleep. I know there are many people, including myself, who have gone to sleep and you wake up just as tired as you did when you laid down. It's because of the lack of the quality of the sleep. There are different phases that you must go into. Like I was speaking of the AUM, the different phases of sleep that we must go into, that REM sleep. So the yoga helps you to go through all those different phases so that when you wake up, you feel rested. And it also, it helps improve the strength of your respiratory muscles, which can help guard against sleep-wrecking conditions like snoring or sleep apnea. Sleep apnea is something to play around with. You stop breathing while you're sleeping. So your mobility and posture will improve. Okay. Many men spend a lot of time bulking up their arms and abs and chest, and all of that muscle tightness pulls the body into more spinal flexions or rounding of the back, slump back, as they say. And so add that to the fact that many people these days spend a large amount of time either sitting at a desk or looking down at their computer or laptop or phone. And believe me, people, this is going to cause some problems in the future because you're going to have this hunched over position and you're not going to realize it because you're so used to doing it, but your shoulders are going to start to roll in and your head is going to drop. So yoga helps counter those effects.
Sure will.
Yes, it is.
So you have to stretch your body, practice some yoga. So let me share this piece. Now, this is from this book entitled Egyptian Yoga, The Philosophy of Enlightenment by Mu'atta Ashby. And this is volume 1, the 7th edition. Let's see here. So I want to start with, let me just get here 1 second. Sma S-M-A-I Tawi is used, okay? And that's a term that means the union of two lands of Egypt. Thus, Egyptian yoga. So, in this book, this author details the spiritual philosophy within yoga. And there were 4 aspects of Shetty, the spiritual practice. There's Sitim, which is listening, Ma'at, right actions, Ushet, devotion to God, and Ua, meditation. So listening, right actions, devotion to God, and meditation. And I want to share this daily ritual. There's a threefold daily ritual. Threefold daily worship. And it's the basic discipline for the morning. So you bathe or wash your face and hands. You light a candle, light an incense, and then you worship. You can worship with divine song if you like. And then you practice your Samaya yoga postures. Then you recite the great truths. You can chant words of scripture or some inspiration or affirmations. Then you have your meditation and then your offering.
Oh.
And that's the daily Shetty. The daily Shetty. The daily Shetty. With yoga, I would say for people that want to start, for beginners, start with the sun salutations. And just start slowly with the sun salutations.
I think the sun salutations are about seven asanas, seven different postures. And you just repeat those. And just start with 5 or 10 minutes, and then you can increase to about 20 minutes. So that's one thing that I really appreciate about yoga. You don't have to go to the gym and be in the gym 3 and 4 hours for your practice or your workout. And just remember, yoga is not just about exercise. It's about uniting. It's about the union. So it's more spiritual. You just receive the benefits of, quote unquote, the yoga body through the yoga practice. But it's not about like, oh, let me get fine. Let me get my waist down or build some muscles in my arms. So let me practice the yoga. It's more to yoga than that. And so that's what we would like to convey and impart to the listening audience tonight about yoga. It's the spiritual practice of it all. Let me see. I think there was something else I wanted to share here. Okay, so the literal meaning of the word yoga is to yoke or to link back. The implication is to link back to the original source, the original essence, that which transcends all mental and intellectual attempts at comprehension, but which is the essential nature of everything in creation. So through self-discipline, the path of yoga offers a shortcut to ending the pains of human existence and to exalt the pleasure, bliss of existence by achieving self-mastery and self-realization, the realization of one's true nature, which is God, you. Stop waiting on somebody else. It's you. Yes, everybody's you. Waiting on you. So the process is to become Horus, a Christ, and Christ literally means the anointed one. So yoga training allows for the development of these qualities so that we may reach the coveted goal of becoming sages and saints and Horuses and Christ. And there are many forms of yoga. Okay, so you can research, and maybe that's something that we'll also add, like the different types of yoga. We can share the different types of yoga that people may want to try just to see which one works for you.
Right.
So the science of yoga teaches us how to promote correct thinking so that we may understand who we are, why we are here, and how to obtain the highest bliss. Obtain the highest bliss. That is the goal. Bliss. What is your peace? Now, I like to practice yoga for flexibility.
Yeah.
Yoga for flexibility adds years to your life. So not only will you become more flexible, you have that longevity.
And energy.
And energy.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
That is my favorite. The flexibility, and of course, for my neck, my shoulders, the neck exercises.
And, I should do one next.
We'll do something like just when we close. I'll make that part of our pranayama.
Okay. Sounds great. Okay.
I know it by heart.
Or anything else you want to share on yoga before we go to Love the Body?
Let's see. Was there something else I wanted to? I think I'm glad you mentioned that about the going to the gym, because going to the gym it can be such a fuss. You gotta, you know, put certain clothes on because you want to look cute. You want to look handsome. You got to drive there. And some people, men and women, they like to flex for other people. And it's more about the physical appearance of it all, you know. Like the way my pants are fitting, where my top is fitting, all of that. But with yoga, it's completely different. It's more personal. It's more it's intuitive. It's more of an inner kind of practice. And it's settling your mind. You're not so preoccupied with what's going on around you like you are when you're at the gym. So I just love it so much more than going to the gym. And I know what I was going to say. It works fast. It works.
Oh, it does.
Fast. It really. You will really see an improvement in less than 3 weeks.
In less than 3 weeks. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Pilates, which is just another form of yoga. It has yoga postures as part of the practice. Pilates, you will see a difference. You will see your muscles lengthen.
Yes.
Within about 6 weeks. In 2 weeks. 2 weeks. If you practice, I say if you practice 4 times a week, 2 weeks, definitely with the abs, you will see a difference.
Yeah.
I've seen a difference like within 2 to 3 weeks. But 6 weeks, a noticeable difference. I'm talking other people.
Yeah.
Will begin to say, you look such and such. You look like you maybe lost a few inches. You look taller.
You look taller. What are you doing?
I wish people would tell me I look taller. Okay. So we'll pick back up on some yoga and why you should practice yoga. I think that was a good talk on yoga.
Okay, so love the body. Basically, what we've been saying, your body's like your vehicle. What you get out of it depends on how well you maintain it. Preventive maintenance, quality input versus low grade. If you have a, Cadillac, Mercedes, Benz, whatever, and it says use superior oil, you use superior oil. You don't get the low grade. Same thing with your body. Keeping it clean and well lubricated, listening and responding to warning signs that something may be off before it becomes a major issue, same way you do your car. Stretch your body, like when you put your vehicle on the road, stretch your body. Keep it lubricated. Drink plenty of water. If your car starts acting funny or dragging or whatever, first thing they do is they check the fluids. Okay?
Check the fluids.
Same thing with your body. Keep your body lubricated. If your car starts veering a certain way, you know, time for an alignment. Same thing with your body. Keep it aligned. Do that yoga. It's wear and tear. It doesn't last forever without any kind of maintenance. It's like your car. You've got to maintain. Love the body. This way some of you love your vehicle. It's your vehicle. It is what you wanted to use to experience being a human being on this planet. Unlike a car, you can't trade it in. It's the only one you get. So, love it. Love your body. That's my love the body.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love the body. Take care of your body.
I want to do a quick did you know? And then I want to share a spoken word. It's not my original spoken word, but it's something that I want to share. So, here's a quote before I do my did you know. One man's trash is another man's treasure. Everybody's familiar with that quote, right?
Right.
Serena Williams, I didn't read it. I didn't want to get into it, but I saw it flash across my tablet when I opened it up. She felt compelled to explain why she married out of her race. Okay. Now, despite her many accomplishments, honors, and records set, Miss Williams received many racial taunts from other nationalities and a lot of backlash from let's face it, men, which, you know, I don't know why, but it was very hurtful. And some of the things that I saw was very derogatory, saying she looked like a man, everything. I can't get into that. I don't understand that. I'm not there. I don't want to be. Mm-hmm. But the fact that she decided to marry outside of an African descent, that's her business, mm-hmm. to me. When mm-hmm. a person gets to be a certain age or a certain point in life, their decisions, what they do, what they say, it's their business. No explanation is needed, okay? But for the record, just for the record, as a part of Did You Know, according to Pew Research Center, which is the Census Bureau of the United States, 1 out of 10 marriages are now interracial. Black men and Asian women lead in this market. White and black women were the least likely to consider someone of a different race or ethnicity in 2016. Mm-hmm. 10% for the white women and 12% for black women. 12% for black women, that's half the number of black men who marry outside their race. Now, these are marriage license records only. They have no way of knowing how many people are cohabitating with other nationalities. So these are just people who marry. The numbers mm-hmm. would be much higher, of course. So white men were the least likely among males to consider intermarriage, with only 12% involved in interracial or interethnic, new word, interethnic marriages. The 2016 mm. census stated that black men chose interracial marriages 2.6 times more than black women. That's mm-hmm. 2.6 times more than black women, black men. Interracial marriage became legal in the United States in the United States Supreme Court in 1967. The Lovins, a black and white couple, decided to sue because it was against the law for them to marry. They were not in the same ethnicity. So, for those who are complaining about Miss Serena Williams' choice in marriage, let it go. It's legal. It's legal. 1 out of 10 couples are doing it. Black men are leading. White women and white females, we're the last ones. We're holding on to our ethnicity. But like I said, one man's trash is another man's treasure. And go where you appreciate it, not tolerate. All right, so... For those people, I gather it's mostly black men who are complaining about Serena Williams. Did you want her? Did you? I don't think so. Okay. Mm. Now, this is a letter that was in the New York Times, December 24th, 2015. It was called Dear White People. It was by a gentleman named George Yancey. Yancey conducted 19 interviews with black philosophers and intellectuals, including Bell Hooks, Cornel West, McLevy, Kati Asante, and others, to discuss the issues of race and to better understand how racism continues to function in such painful ways in this country. Yancey said, quote, "I came to see these interviews as linked by a common thread. They were messages to white America, because they often directly express the experience of those who live and have lived as people of color in a white-run world. And that is something no white person could ever truly know firsthand. That is how I want to deliver my own message now." Close quote. Following are excerpts from that letter that Mr. George Yancey wrote, and it was published online. It's not the entire letter, but just a few excerpts, and if you want to see the entire letter, just type Dear White People letter. Dear white people, if you are white and you are reading this letter, I ask that you don't run to seek shelter from your own racism. Don't hide from your responsibility. Rather, begin right now to practice being vulnerable. Take a deep breath. Being neither a good, quote, unquote, white person, nor a liberal white person will get you off the proverbial hook. I consider myself to be a decent human being, yet I'm sexist. Take another deep breath. I ask that you try to be, quote, unsuitered, close quote. If that term brings to mind a state of pain, open flesh, it is meant to do so. After all, it is painful to let go of your, quote, white innocence. To use this letter as a mirror, one that refuses to show you what you want to see, one that demands that you look at the lies that you tell yourself so that you don't feel the weight of responsibility. For those who live under the yoke of whiteness, your whiteness. I'm now daring you to face a racist history which, paraphrasing Baldwin, has placed you where you are and that has formed your own racism. Again, in the spirit of Baldwin, I'm asking you to enter into battle with your white self. I'm asking you that you open yourself up to speak to admit to the racist position that is poison that is inside of you. Don't tell me about how many black friends you have. Don't tell me that you're married to someone of color. Don't tell me that you voted for Obama. Don't tell me that I'm the racist. Don't tell me that you don't see color. And don't tell me that I'm blaming whites for everything. To do so is to hide yet again. You may have never used the N-word in your life. You may hate the KKK. But that does not mean that you don't harbor racism and benefit from racism. After all, you are part of a system that allows you to walk into stores where you are not followed, where you get to go for a bank loan and your skin does not count against you, where you don't need to engage in the talk that black people and people of color must tell their children when they are confronted by white police officers. As you reap comfort from being white, we suffer from being black and people of color. But your comfort is linked to our pain and suffering. Just as my comfort in being male is linked to the suffering of women, which makes me sexist. So, too, you are racist. Some of your white brothers and sisters have made this leap. The legal scholar Stephanie M. Wildman has written, quote, I simply believe that no matter how hard I work at not being racist, I still am. Because part of racism is systemic. I benefit from the privilege that I am struggling to see, close quote. And the journalism professor Robert Jensen wrote, I like to think I have changed, even though I routinely trip over the lingering effects of that internalized racism and the institutional racism around me. Every time I walk into a store at the same time as a black man and the security guard follows him and leaves me alone to shop, I'm benefiting from being white. Perhaps the language of this letter will encourage a split, not a split between black and white, but a fissure in your understanding, a space for loving a Trayvon Martin, and Eric Garner, Tamir Rice, Ayanna Jones, Sandra Bland, Laquan McDonald, and others. I'm suggesting a form of love that enables you to see the role that you play, even despite your anti-racism actions, in a system that continues to value black lives on the cheap. Take one more deep breath. I have another gift. If you have young children, before you fall asleep tonight, I want you to hold your child, touch your child's face, smell your child's hair, count the fingers on your child's hand, and see the miracle that is your child. And then, with as much vision as you can muster, I want you to imagine that your child is black in peace. In peace. George Yancey. George Yancey is professor of philosophy at Emory University, and he's author of several books, including Pursuing Trayvon Martin, Black Bodies, White Gazes, and Look, a White. I would like to get that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Mm.
Look,
a
White.
Oh, boy. All right, then.
Namaste.
For real. Namaste. All right, then. Well, thanks for sharing that. I always love when you share your spoken word. Anyway, let's take a break, and we will be back with our African spirit.
Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Okay. All right, we're back here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show, and it is time for our African Spirit. And tonight we are honoring Annie Turnbow Malone. She was born in 1869. She transitioned in 1957. Now, we've heard of Madam C.J. Walker, but have you heard of Annie Turnbow Malone? She invented hair and skin products, Featherlight, a few years before Madam C.J. Walker. Just like Madam C.J. Walker, she became a millionaire by successfully marketing her products. Okay? And she was born in Metropolis, Illinois, and she attended Peoria, Illinois High School, where she discovered that she had an interest in physical science. Her favorite subject was chemistry. Annie's friends used goose fat soap and heavy oils to straighten their hair. Annie noticed that these mixtures were often damaging, causing girls to lose their hair and develop scalp problems. So she believed that there was a way to straighten the hair without hurting it. So she spent countless hours experimenting with these different ingredients, and this is how she developed her products. In 1900, Turnbow patented the first pressing comb to iron hair. In 1902 is when she moved to St. Louis, seeking new opportunities. She set up shop and hired employees as agents. Her agents went door to door, selling her products and giving free beauty treatments to demonstrate their quality. Now, this is what I like about Miss Annie Turnbow Malone. She chose a West African word, poro, meaning, and it's spelled P-O-R-O, meaning physical and spiritual growth. black newspapers advertised her hair straightening and conditioning products. And she always said that the best advertisement, though, was a satisfied customer. Her agents were required to provide a 24-hour turnaround time in shipping products to customers. Maybe she was almost like Amazon. Along the way, Annie got married. She was soon divorced and all that. But she was able to grow her business through her shrewdness, persistence, hard work, and her commitment. In 1917, she purchased an entire city block and built a multi-million dollar complex, Wakanda Forever. And she chose to include a vocational school, which she named Poro College. And Poro College trained African-American beauticians, barbers, and salespeople. Isn't that something? And see, that's what we were talking about earlier. And that's something that what the brothers have pretty much forced the city of Philadelphia to start an initiative to teach these young boys about entrepreneurship and business. So they're reaching back to this tradition.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And let's see. In 1920, Annie Turnbull Malone was worth more than $14 million. How come I never learned about her in school?
Isn't that interesting? Neither did I.
6 years later, so in 1926, she had more than 75,000 agents who sold her products door to door throughout the United States and the Caribbean. 75,000.
Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
75,000.
Bigger than Avon and Mary Kay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's Annie Turnbull Malone, worth $14 million in 1920 through the development of her hair care and skin products.
That is amazing that she is not talked about in the books.
We always hear about Madam C.J. Walker. We don't hear about her. Maybe it's because she had this West African name, Poro.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Meaning physical and spiritual growth. Because we never hear about her. We don't hear about. And see, just like what was, I can't remember what comedian said that, but one nigga at a time. One nigga at a time. That's all they're giving you. One nigga at a time. Look, not 2 minutes. One at a time.
Yep.
One Denzel, one Will at a time. Can't
one Jordan.
One Jordan at a time. One nigga at a time. One nigga at a time. Not Madam C.J. Walker and Annie Turnbull. One nigga at a time. One nigga at a time.
Y'all already doing great. Just can't have a bunch of you doing great at the same time.
One nigga at a time. All right. So let me see. Let me share the gemstone.
Okay.
So we are still in our brown crystals, and tonight is mahogany obsidian. Mahogany obsidian. It's deep brown in its appearance, and it's glassy. Properties: grounding, protecting, brings strength in times of need, vitalizes purpose, eliminates energy blockages, relieves tension, and stimulates growth on all levels. And that's the mahogany obsidian. So we've spoken about grounding. If you feel like you're flying all over the place, your mind is always wondering, you need to ground yourself, you can use this mahogany obsidian when you meditate.
And it's black, right?
Put it in here. Well, it's a mahogany color. It's more of a brownish with red hues.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Looks like a piece of light chocolate. Not dark chocolate, but light chocolate.
Oh, okay. So when I think of mahogany, I think of black.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll have to pull that up. I don't have that.
Okay. All right. Do you have another quote for us?
Yes, I do. Oh, here's one. This is interesting. Let me see. What is the difference between pain and suffering? We hear about pain and suffering when we hear about court cases, but insofar as it being with us personally, there is a difference between pain and suffering. It has nothing to do with money. Pain is an experience we have. This is my quote. Pain is an experience we have. Suffering is how we relate to this experience.
Ah.
Oh. You got to do a dip on that. Yes. Okay. Let me give you a fair instance. Okay. I just recently, and the reason why I came up with this, found this quote, I was looking for something that distinguished between pain and suffering, and I found this one. So my girlfriend, Beatrice, she lost her sister, okay? And, of course, that's hard on anybody. I lost my brother, and it's terrible. So that's pain. That's, you lost someone, and, my deepest sympathy. But she was telling me the whole story. She'd gone to Mexico, visited with her sister. Her sister wanted to have this, her doctors told her that she needed these tests run on her, and the sister didn't want to take these tests. She said they were extremely painful, and they just hurt so much, and she had it done once, but she didn't want to have it done again. But the doctor said that if she didn't do it again, then he was not going to be her doctor anymore. He wasn't going to see her anymore. And her sister said, she said, I'd rather die than have these tests again. But anyway, she was with her sister when she had the test, and within 24 hours, she was gone. So the first thing I said was, where were you? Were you with your sister? Because I know, what it's about. I said, were you there in Mexico? She says, yes, I had gone there, and we were supposed to go somewhere this week. That Friday, she died that Monday or Tuesday, we were supposed to go to this place that she really loves, and da-da-da, and I was going to go, and I was going to, be there and go with her, and why did the universe take her away before we got a chance to go? And she's very, very, very spiritual, so that's strong for her to say, and she was angry. And then she said that she was with her, but she had to go downstairs and make sure that this and this was being done and this and this was being done. And when she went back upstairs, she had passed. And so she said, why wasn't I there? Why wasn't I there? I just went upstairs and then I came back and just go. And she was so upset with herself. And I had to tell her, B, you were taking care of her. You were there. You were in Mexico. You live in Houston. You were there. You went all the way there to be with her. You were willing to go with her on this special trip to this special hotel place. You were there. You were there for her for everything that she wanted. You just stepped out of the room for a few minutes. You're beating yourself. She was beating herself. That's suffering. And how long she's going to do that is up to her. But we all have experienced that. It's one thing to experience the pain and go through the pain, but to beat yourself up over, and that's emotional pain, and emotional pain eventually turns into physical pain, and that's debilitating to your body, and it can often cause a disease. Of your body. It throws off your energies, and that's what we keep saying. It's all about energy. If you break up with someone and you feel like I should have done this, I should have been more of this, I should have given him what he wanted, or I should have been bought her more gifts, or whatever. That's suffering. Let it go. It was time. People come into your life. And you experience them and you let it go. But to beat yourself up that suffering, and that is something that is that we do. It's something that we internalize. The pain is something that comes from outside. It's an outside source. So I just wanted to share that, because I think we probably have all done that at some point or another. I should have done this, I should have done that, and then you take it over and over and over in your mind, and you write a story about it, you know, in your mind. You write a story about it. You walk through it, you know, over and over again. You walk through the story. So stop the story. Sometimes it's, you know, I can't say that you can't feel pain, especially losing someone. That's normal, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong if you didn't feel the pain. But the beating yourself up. There's someone I know right now who has been very, very sick for some years, who has gone back and forth to several doctors of several different specialties, and each one of them will send him to another doctor saying, I don't see anything, I don't see, which is good, because it's something else. I believe this person is suffering from guilt and suffering, you know, suffering from some things that happened.
Eternal and emotional.
Yes.
Hey, before we go into the breathing, can I just share this quick story about this principal here in Spring, Texas?
Oh, please do. People need to know. Yes.
Right, because it's picking up some wings on Twitter, finally. So there was this, I'll make this very quick because I definitely want to go into the breathing. So there was this teacher and principal in the at Spring ISD district, the Spring ISD school district. Spring School District, let me just say it like that, in Spring, Texas, which is just right outside of Houston, at this elementary school called Ponderosa. The name of the school is Ponderosa Elementary School in Spring, Texas. The principal name is Shannon Swearingen, and she was heard by a small group of staff stating that in response to this autistic 9-year-old black child, doesn't matter if he's black or white, but it does matter in this particular case. She said, if he runs out of the school, because the boy has a tendency to run out of the school and run up to the main boulevard, which I'm now seeing that a lot of parents said that their children have the same action. This is just something that some autistic children will do. They have a tendency, or special needs children, they have a tendency to want to run out of the room for different reasons. I've seen them do it. And so this principal said, well, the next time he runs out of the school, don't chase him. Just call the police and tell the cops that he has a gun. Now, so the reason why I said this really is insulting, because this is a young black boy, is because we know that if police will kill Tamir Rice, and someone called and said he had a gun, they'll kill this boy too. So it's not like people can say, oh, well, the police wouldn't shoot him because he's a boy. No. We know that some of these 9-year-old children, they may be about 5'7" and 140, 50, 60 pounds or whatever. So the point is, though, that this principal, she's supposed to be an educator there to educate and protect those children, stated that just call the cops, knowing that if the cops are told that this child has a gun, then they could possibly come and shoot him. If they shoot you down with a soda pop can. Yeah. I remember years ago in Arkansas, I can't remember that little boy's name. It started with the T. Kind of, I think his name was Terrence or something. Reminded me of Trayvon Martin. He was 14 and the police shot him. He had a 7-Up can in his hand. That was in Arkansas about 15 years ago.
Oh, I remember that.
Exactly.
Oh,
because we marched on that.
They shot
that baby. 14 years old. Said that he couldn't see that it was a drink can. Anyway, so the principal has not been terminated, although I believe she's been she may be on a paid suspension because I don't think that she's in the school, but she has not been terminated. So I know that people have been calling. You can call the Spring Board. It's called Spring ISD, Spring Independent School District. The number is 281-891-6000. The superintendent is Dr. Watson. That's Spring ISD, 281-891-6000. 281-891-6000. She should not instruct staff to call the cops on a 9-year-old autistic boy. You went to school to learn how to work with these children, so work with them. Don't throw them off on the cops. Right. Don't. If you're incapable with them, then you need to resign. But she needs to resign anyway. Some parents did not bring their child back to school the next day, and they have begun to unroll their children in the school. They're removing them from the school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just so upset about this because there were so many people that were defending her statement, because of course the principal said, well, that's not in my heart and I didn't mean it like that. And so some of the parents are saying, and some of the people in the community are saying, some of the teachers at the school are saying, well, she helped so much during Hurricane Harvey and she really cares about the students. Okay, what she did during Hurricane Harvey and all of that, which many people stepped up, you had to step up because FEMA wasn't helping anybody. So right. We had to help each other here.
You found that everywhere.
So, but that does not negate her statement. That does not subtract from her statement.
It has nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it.
It's irrelevant.
And that's a prison, what is it, school to pipeline.
That's right.
Pipeline.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So she shouldn't be there. She shouldn't. She shouldn't be able to.
That's what's going to happen.
All right, so call the Spring School District and state your thoughts on that. I hope that your thoughts are that she should be fired
immediately.
She should be removed. And no, she don't need any diversity training because she should have already had that in her amount of years of schooling. Education.
No. Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
She doesn't need any diversity training.
She's not new. She's not new
to
the game.
She's too damn old for diversity training. If you're still thinking and talking like that at that age, that's just you.
Yep.
You feel emboldened in this time that we're in right now, that you can say some crap like that. But here's the thing, Featherlight, and then we're going to the breather. Here's the thing. What I hear is she's not the first one that's made statements like that. Quite a few people in that district make those types of statements. Just call the cops on.
That's not good. That's why they don't see anything wrong with it.
And then you have this president talking about arming teachers. No, this is why some people don't want them armed, because you have these whack jobs in there impersonating a principal or an educator talking about calling the cops. She just a little Nazi teacher that was teaching white supremacy, white superiority. Anyway, breathe.
Yes, just take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. We'll just do relaxing breathing. Just relax. Relax your throat. Your face muscles and your shoulders, raise them up and let them fall. Shake them a little bit. Shake your wrists and your elbows, your fingers. Make sure your fingers are all spread apart so the energy can flow through. Kind of bounce up and down, not jump, but bounce on your heels. Just shake the stress off. Take some deep breaths, breathing from your lower abdomen, your center, feeling your abdomen rise with air as you inhale. And pushing your abdomen in towards your spine as you exhale those toxins from your body. Relax your chest so it's easier for you to breathe from your abdomen. Inhale, 4. Hold, 2. Exhale, 6. Exhale through your mouth, inhale through your nose. Inhale, hold. Inhale, bend your head slowly to your right so that your chin is level with your right shoulder. Breathe normally. Inhale and bring your head back to the center. Exhale. Inhale and turn your head to your left shoulder. Chin is parallel with your left shoulder, and you are inhaling, exhale, and inhaling, bring your head back to the center. Exhale and drop your chin down to your collarbone. Breathe. Inhale, raise your head up, the chin going up to the ceiling, to the sky. Inhale. Inhale and bring it back to the center. Inhale. And exhale and drop your right ear to your right shoulder. And slightly chucking your chin. Inhale and bring your head back up to the center. Exhale and drop your left ear to your left shoulder. And slightly chucking your chin. Inhale and exhale. Inhale and bring your head back. Inhale, stretch your arms out in a circle up towards the sky, palms facing each other. Look up and bring down some good earthly, heavenly chi over your face, shoulders, chest, down towards your hips. Circle again, inhale. Gather some good heavenly chi. Your essence for your spirit. Bring down slowly over your face. Sit down to the earth, and one last time, form a triangle with your hands. And exhale and bring your hands down in the Anjali Mudra, which is the prayer symbol for your namaste. Nod. Smile. Have a wonderful night. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you. We love you. Speak your truth. Namaste.
Namaste. Namaste. Thank you for the light, peace, and prosperity to all of you this week. And
that was neck yoga that we just did, fellas. That in a longer version helped my headache, so I wanted to share that with you.
Wonderful. Yeah. All right, I feel relaxed. Peace and good night. Namaste.
Namaste.
Thanks, Scotty.
Thanks, Scotty.